Well, good morning. If you'd like to take out a Bible, we're going to be studying from the Old Testament again. The book of Numbers, chapter 13, is where we'll begin this morning. The last time I had the opportunity to speak to you in this setting, we spoke about Joshua. And we talked about the courage of Joshua and how God gave a charge to Joshua to enter into the land, to follow in the footsteps of Moses. And although Joshua often overshadows the individual we're going to talk about this morning, we very rarely think of Joshua without also thinking about Caleb. We think about them in a pair, Joshua and Caleb, the two spies who stood out as they went into the land to spy out the land. The two spies who knew that they could take the land because God was on their side. Many of us are familiar with that story, the story of the 12 spies. But I'd like to remind us of a few points in that story. Look first at Numbers chapter 13, the first two verses. It says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Send out for yourself men, so that they may spy out the land of Canaan, which I am going to give to the sons of Israel. You shall send a man from each of their fathers' tribes, everyone a leader among them.'" So Moses, as they were before the promised land for the first time, the Lord commanded Moses, he said, "Send 12 men into the land, one from each of the tribes of Israel." He said, "I'm going to give this land to you. You send them in there. You tell them to look at the land. Observe that it is good." And when they finally brought back the report, skip down some verses down to verse 27 there. Numbers chapter 13, verse 27. They finally brought back the news. They had been to the land and they came back. It says, "Thus they told him and said, 'We went into the land where you sent us, and it certainly does flow with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who live in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there.'" So they came back and they said, "This is a good land. The land that God is going to give to us, the inheritance that He's promised us, it's great." They said, "Look at the fruit. We brought back some of this fruit from the land. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. It's a fruitful land that we can dwell in." But they said that the land is occupied by strong people. The people who live in the land are not going to go down easy. But in Numbers chapter 13, down in verse 30, Caleb tried to reassure the people. It said, "Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'We should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will surely overcome it.'" Still, despite Caleb's efforts to still the people and to calm them and to reassure them, the 10 spies who thought that the land was too difficult to take, they swayed all of Israel to lose their faith. They influenced the entire nation of Israel not to go into the land, not to take the land that God already promised to them and told them that they would take. Flip over to Numbers chapter 14, though, and look at what resulted, what came about as a result of the 10 spies swaying the nation of Israel. Numbers 14, down in verse 29. God said, "Your corpses will fall in this wilderness, even all your numbered men according to your complete number, from 20 years old and upward, who have grumbled against me. Surely you shall not come into the land in which I swore to settle you, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. Your children, however, whom you said would become a prey, I will bring them in, and they will know the land which you have rejected. But as for you, your corpses will fall in the wilderness. Your sons shall be shepherds for 40 years in the wilderness, and they will suffer for your unfaithfulness until your corpses lie in the wilderness. According to the number of days which you spied out the land, 40 days, for every day you shall bear your guilt a year, even 40 years, and you will know my oppression." God said that He would punish the nation of Israel for their lack of faith. "Because you didn't believe me, because you didn't go in and conquer the land like I told you you would be able to, your corpses are going to lie in the very wilderness that you were trying to escape. And the very children that you thought would become prey in the land, the very children that you thought would die in the land if you took them in there, they're the ones that are going to go in and conquer the land." God certainly has a sense of irony, doesn't He? God says your children are going to go take the land even though you thought they would die. But not just the people. Those weren't the only ones who were going to be punished.
Look down in verse 36. As for the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land and who returned and made all the congregation grumble against him by bringing out a bad report concerning the land, even those men who brought out the very bad report of the land died by a plague before the Lord. The 10 spies who brought back the evil report, they were killed right there on the spot by a plague of God. God sent punishment for their lack of faith. And again down in verse 38. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh remained alive out of those men who went to spy out the land. The entire generation of Israelites, of that entire nation, only two men would survive. That's the punishment of God for the Israelites' lack of faith. But in the midst of this story, there is an interesting statement made about Caleb. Look back up in Numbers chapter 14 and verse 24. God says, but my servant Caleb, because he has had a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land which he entered, and his descendants shall take possession of it. Caleb followed the Lord fully. This is mentioned of Caleb several times throughout the books of the law and throughout Joshua. It's mentioned again in Numbers chapter 32. It's mentioned in Deuteronomy chapter 1. It's mentioned in Joshua chapter 14. Caleb followed the Lord fully over and over and over. This was a trademark of Caleb's almost. It's something that people could look to and they could say, look at Caleb. He followed the Lord fully and he is reaping the benefits. He is entering into the promised land because that he followed the land, followed the Lord fully. What an amazing epitaph. Well, how wonderful would it be if while we lie in the grave on our tombstone, it could be written instead of us, Andrew followed the Lord fully. This individual followed the Lord fully. He was always following the Lord. He never ceased following the Lord. He followed the Lord to the fullest. What if that was said of each and every one of us in this room, that we follow the Lord with everything, that we completely followed him? What I'd like to do a little bit this morning is look at the life of Caleb and observe how he followed the Lord and maybe how we can emulate that in our life and how we too can come to follow the Lord. First thing I'd like to point out is what it means to follow the Lord fully. What is it that Caleb did that made him follow the Lord fully? Well, the first thing is that Caleb followed the Lord continually. This is exactly what he did. He followed the Lord out of the land of Egypt. He was a slave in Egypt, just like the rest of the nation of Israel at that time. He followed the Lord out of the land. He followed the Lord through the wilderness up to the land of Canaan. He followed the Lord through the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. And finally, when he was finally able to enter the land, he was still found following the Lord. He never ceased. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14, this is after the nation of Israel had wandered for 40 years. This is after the nation of Israel had entered in and conquered the land. But notice what is said of Caleb in Joshua chapter 14, beginning in verse 8. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt with fear. But I followed the Lord my God fully. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land on which your foot has trodden will be an inheritance to you and to your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God fully. Now behold, the Lord has let me live just as he spoke these 45 years from the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses when Israel walked in the wilderness. And now behold, I am 85 years old today. Caleb followed the Lord continually. He completely followed the Lord in the sense that he never ceased. He never stopped. 45 years, he said, I've been following the Lord in this land that has been given to me. I'm now 85 years old and I'm still following the Lord fully. Unfortunately, many people don't follow the Lord fully. They don't follow the Lord their whole lives. We remember people like Lot's wife, who, yes, she followed the Lord out of the land of Sodom and Gomorrah. She followed her husband and followed the command of the Lord, but she turned back. Lot's wife didn't follow the Lord continually. She did not entirely give herself to the Lord. No, she looked back. She didn't trust in the Lord enough to walk forward without looking backwards. Lot's wife looked back, but isn't that what many people today do? Turn with me to Galatians chapter 1. I have Galatians chapter 3 up on the screen, and we'll read that verse in just a minute. But look first at what is said of the Galatians in chapter 1, beginning in verse 6. Paul says, "I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another, but there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ." The Galatians had a problem that Paul was addressing. He said, "I'm amazed that you have turned back. I'm amazed that you have stopped following the Lord fully." And isn't that what Christians today do? We get in and we're zealous at the beginning, but we don't follow the Lord fully. We don't continue to follow Him even into our old age. I am amazed that you are so quickly turned back. Look over at Galatians chapter 3, though. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1, Paul says, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified?" It was foolishness not to follow the Lord fully. It is foolishness not to give yourself to God completely and continually in all your life. Paul said, "You're fools. How dare you not follow the Lord fully?" The Galatians were called fools. How terrible would it be if we were called foolish for not following the Lord fully? To follow fully the Lord's command, to follow Him completely, is to follow Him with our whole lives, continually and consistently. But aside from following the Lord continually, what does it mean to follow the Lord fully? It means to follow Him completely, with everything that we have, in every way that we can. Caleb followed the Lord with his whole heart, and that's seen throughout the verses that talk about him. This is clearly seen in his actions and the way that he carried himself throughout the land when he came back and reported on the land. While others were fearful, Caleb was completely convinced. He was convicted that God would take the land for them. He had no second thoughts about where his heart was. He had no second thoughts about who he was going to follow because Caleb completely followed God. Too many people try to serve the Lord with divided hearts. We think of a man like Solomon. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Kings chapter 11. We think of men like Solomon, who is described as having his heart divided in many different directions. 1 Kings chapter 11 and verse 4. "For when Solomon was old, his wives turned his heart. His wives turned his heart away after other gods, and his heart was not wholly devoted to the Lord his God." We're talking about Solomon, a man who was given wisdom by God, a man who was given riches by God and peace directly from God, and he did not follow the Lord wholly. He did not follow the Lord completely with his entire heart because the text tells us that in his old age, his wives caused his heart to be divided in all different directions. Solomon is an example of one who did not completely follow the Lord. But turn with me now again to the New Testament, to James chapter 4. James here addresses the problem of a divided heart. In James chapter 4 and verse 4, he says, "You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." Is our heart divided? Are we trying to make friends with the world? Are we trying to do the things the world can do and still have a relationship with God? Because, brethren, that's not going to work. James says you can't do that. You have to wholly follow the Lord. You have to completely follow the Lord. You have to follow the Lord fully, like Caleb. A divided heart is not going to be able to follow the Lord fully. To follow the Lord fully is to follow Him completely. It's to follow Him with a whole heart, entirely devoted to Him and to His service. But one more thing, to follow the Lord wholly, to follow the Lord fully, is to follow the Lord committedly. It's to follow the Lord with commitment, never turning from Him, always recognizing that we are committed to Him first and to nothing else. Caleb followed the Lord despite great dangers that could have become him. Look at Numbers chapter 13. Numbers 13, and read with me verse 33. There are also, this is the spies reporting, again, reporting what they saw in the land. He said, there also we saw the Nephilim. The sons of Anak are part of the Nephilim. And we became like grasshoppers in our sight. And so we were in their sight. He says, there are these people in the land. They're giants. And we look like bugs before them. They could easily crush us. They could easily destroy us. This was a real danger that Caleb faced. But Caleb was committed to the Lord. You see, Caleb never swerved. He never swayed his opinion. He knew God would take care of them. He was committed to God and to the things that God had said. Look over in Numbers chapter 14 and verse 10. Not only was he facing the dangers of the land, not only was he facing the giants, and he was facing the people that were there and the fortified cities, but in Numbers chapter 14 and verse 10, notice what it says, but all the congregation said to stone them with stones. That's, they're talking about stoning Joshua and Caleb because they're the ones who brought back the good report. Then the glory of the Lord appeared in the tent of meeting to all the sons of Israel. He not only had to face the dangers that would become in the land, the dangers of the giants and the fortified cities. He was facing danger from his own brethren. His own brethren, his own people were wanting to destroy him, were wanting to kill him, were wanting to silence him. But Caleb followed the Lord fully. Caleb was committed to God. Despite the dangers, despite the physical harm that would become him, he followed the Lord. He was committed to the Lord. Many people will only serve the Lord when it's convenient today. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 26. But we recognize that to follow the Lord when it's convenient is not enough. Even a man like Peter in Matthew chapter 26 turned from the Lord when it got hard. Matthew chapter 26, verse 69. Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him and said, "You too were with Jesus, the Galilean." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you are talking about." See, Peter recognized the danger that could become him. Jesus is a criminal. He's the one he's on trial right now, and he's about to be put to death. If I say that I'm with Jesus, maybe they'll put me to death too. Peter was not committed to the Lord in that instance. Thankfully, he had a chance to make that right. And thankfully, we all have that chance. By the grace of God, we have that chance. But we must be committed to God. We must wholly follow Him, fully follow Him, and be committed. Turn with me over to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 10. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Are we committed to God to the point that we can stand in the face of persecution? And I'm not necessarily talking about death. There may come a day when we have to face that. But right now, we're not facing death. No, we're facing the verbal abuse. We're facing people who want to silence us, who don't want us to speak out about our beliefs. Are we committed to God, or are we trying to find favor with the world? Because if we're committed to God, we will follow Him fully. If we're committed to God, we will not let any distractions come in. We will speak His word, and we will be convinced of His word, despite what dangers it may bring. We must be committed to the Lord, because to fully follow the Lord is to follow him despite the consequent difficulties. It's to follow him despite what man can do. It's to be committed to him. Are we fully following the Lord? Do we look at this list? Are we following continually? Are we following him all our lives? Are we following him completely with every ounce of our being and every energy that we have is used to his service? Are we so committed to him that we are willing to face anything that may come up? What does it mean to follow the Lord fully? But how are we able to do that? How are we able to follow the Lord completely? What is there that we can do that will help us in this effort? Well, first, Caleb kept his eye on God. Caleb never once looked away from God and the promises that he gave. We must keep our eye on God as well. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers 13 and verse 30, Caleb never looked away from God. He always had faith in God and the promises that he gave. Look at Numbers 13, verse 30. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "We should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will surely overcome it." Caleb had faith in God. Caleb looked to God to be the guide and to be the power that would drive them into the land of Canaan. He never looked away. Look over in Numbers 14. Numbers 14, beginning in verse 8. "If the Lord is pleased with us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord and do not fear the people of the land, for they will be our prey. Their protection has been removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." His confidence was rooted in the Lord. He wasn't saying that we can go in and take the land because we're strong, because we're a great people that can go in and do this. Everything that he believed in about this land, about taking this land, was rooted in the Lord. The Lord will do it. The Lord will be our strength. The Lord, he kept his eyes on the Lord. He trusted in the Lord. His focus was never moved from his God. We must have this same kind of faith, the kind of faith that we're always looking to God as our guide. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. Here, the author writes, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." We are to keep our focus on Christ always. And we have great obstacles in this life that we're going to face. We have great difficulties that are going to come up. We're going to have our own brethren sometimes want to stone us, figuratively, I would hope. We're going to have our enemies try and silence us. We even have, aside from the obstacles, if you look at Hebrews chapter 11, the chapter that just precedes this, we have great examples to look to. We have people who we can look at and say, we're going to be like them. We're going to follow their faith that they exemplified. But notice that that's not who the author here tells us to look at. He gives us all these examples, and certainly they're worthy to look at. But who does he say to look at? Keep your eyes fixed on Christ. Look to him. He's the author. He's the perfecter of faith. Keep focused on Christ. This is how we're going to be able to fully follow the Lord, when we recognize that we need to look to Christ and we need to follow his example. Our focus is always to be on God. Our focus is always to be on Jesus. But how are we able to fully follow the Lord? Caleb had a different spirit. Look back in the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 14. And notice here again what it says about Caleb in Numbers chapter 14 and verse 24. But my servant Caleb, because he has had a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land. That's an interesting statement about Caleb, that he had a different spirit. There was something about him that was not like the other spies. There was something about him that was not like the nation of Israel. Look at Numbers chapter 13 again and look at verse 31. This is the spirit that he was different from. These are the people that he is contrasted with. Numbers 13 and verse 31. But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are too strong for us." That was the predominant spirit of Israel at that time. That's the kind of thing that the entire nation of Israel was saying. Look at now at Numbers 14 and verse 8. If the Lord, this is Caleb speaking now, this is the different spirit. If the Lord is pleased with us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they will be our prey. Their protection has been removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. That's a different spirit. That's a spirit that nobody was exemplifying in Israel. That's the spirit that Caleb had. Caleb was different. There was something unique about the way that he looked at the situation. Any sane person would have looked in there into the land of Canaan and said, "I am not going in there." That's what human nature tells us, because I can't take that. Caleb's spirit was different. He said, "We have God on our side. We have the Lord fighting for us. He's torn down the defenses in that land. He's torn them down already, even though they're still standing." Caleb had a different spirit, and he was able to follow the Lord fully because of it. Look over in the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 6. I must like this verse because I feel like I sure do quote it a lot in sermons. But it's a very telling scripture, and there's so much in it. Look in Ephesians chapter 6 at verse 10, beginning in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. I'm going to tell you right now, if we're going to follow what the apostle has directed us to do in Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to have a different spirit. We're going to have to be different from the world. We're going to have a unique mindset, knowing that the Lord is our strength. Knowing that is where we find power to continue on, even though there are struggles, even though there are fortified cities that we're going up against, even though the world will hate us. Are we going to have a different spirit? Are we going to be the kind of people that Paul here describes, the people who put on the full armor of God despite the struggle that's going to come, despite what we're going to face? This is how we're going to follow the Lord fully, completely. In everything that we do, is if we have a different spirit, is if we're unique from the world, if we look at things differently. That's how we will have to follow the Lord fully. But finally, I think that we can note that we do have motivation to follow the Lord fully. There is reason to follow the Lord fully. How was Caleb motivated to follow the Lord fully? Well, first, do you want a useful life? Because Caleb's life, when he followed the Lord fully, became useful. It became something that God could use and that he could shape and that he could make it turn out for his glory. Look back at the book of Numbers again. Numbers 13. Numbers 13, verse 2. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Send out for yourself men, so that they may spy out the land of Canaan, which I am going to give to the sons of Israel. You shall send a man from each of the father's tribes, everyone a leader among them. Now skip down to verse 6. There we are told that from the tribe of Judah, Moses selected Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. Now the first way that Caleb was made useful, because he followed the Lord fully, he was made useful in the fact that he was a leader among his people. He was one of the 12 that was sent into the land. And he was useful to God. He was able to put his abilities to use because he followed the Lord fully. But how else was he useful? Numbers chapter 13 and verse 30. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "We should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will surely overcome it." Not only was he a leader for his people, not only was he made useful in that sense, but he was made useful because he was an example of faith and courage. He was an example to people. He was useful in that sense. He was useful to God. Look over in Numbers chapter 14 now, down in verse 29. It says, "Your corpses will fall in this wilderness, even all your numbered men, according to your complete number, from 20 years old and upward, who have grumbled against me. Surely you shall not come into the land which I swore to settle you, except Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun." Now, how is Caleb useful in those verses? Well, Caleb became useful to God because he became a reminder of God's justice, a reminder that God would punish the evildoer and that he would bring into his land those who follow his will, the righteous. He was a reminder of justice. He became useful to God in that sense. One more over in the book of Joshua, chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14. Begin reading with me in verse 6. "Then the sons of Judah drew near to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said to him, 'You know the word which the Lord spoke to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought word back to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brother who went up with me made the heart of the people melt with fear. But I followed the Lord my God fully. So Moses swore to me in that day, saying, "Surely the Lord, surely the land on which your foot has trodden will be an inheritance to you and to your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God fully. Now behold, the Lord has let me live just as he spoke these 45 years. From the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses when Israel walked in the wilderness, and now behold, I am 85 years old today. I am still as strong today as I was in the day Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so my strength is now, for war and for going out and coming in. Now then, give me this hill country about which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day that Anakim were there, with great fortified cities. Perhaps the Lord will be with me, and I will drive them out as the Lord has spoken." Caleb was useful to God as an example in the land, as an example in his old age. Caleb still had that different spirit. He said, "God will go with me. He will let me drive out those people. I'm still strong." See, Caleb was useful to God. He was an example of faith, of constant faith, of one who fully followed the Lord constantly, completely, who was committed to God. Well, how useful will we be if we follow Jesus fully, if we follow him completely? Turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy. First Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. "Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe." Young people, Paul is talking to you. Don't let people look down on your youthfulness. You can follow the Lord fully now. You can follow him in your youth. You can become an example. You can be useful to God. How wonderful is it that we can be examples to those around us, and God can use us to his glory. Look over in the second book of Timothy, though. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Here, Paul addresses a wider audience. So young people, Paul addressed you in 1 Timothy. Now we're talking to everyone. 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 20, Paul says, "Now in a large house there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and of earthenware, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work." Are we useful? Have we prepared our lives? Have we been following the Lord so fully that we're useful to him? That we're useful for the master's use, for how he wants us to be used. Not necessarily how we think we ought to be used, but are we useful to God? Are we that pot that has been cleaned? Are we that pot that has been made useful? Are we making ourselves useful to God? This is the only possible, This is motivation to follow the Lord fully. This is how we can become useful when we follow the Lord fully. But that's not the only motivation to follow the Lord fully. Yes, we can have a useful life if we follow the Lord fully. We can be useful to God. But do we want our lives to be fulfilled? Do we want to have some sense of gratification for the way that we've lived our lives? Consider with me first how Caleb's life was fulfilled. Turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 1. Deuteronomy, chapter 1, verse 35. It says, "Not one of these men, this evil generation, shall see the good land which I swore to give your fathers, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it. And to him and to his sons I will give the land on which he has set foot, because he has followed the Lord fully." See, if you were an Israelite at this time, you were wandering in the wilderness for a very long time. And your whole goal after leaving Egypt was to get to the promised land. That would have been the ultimate fulfillment for the nation of Israel at that time. And now a whole generation, because they didn't follow the Lord fully, a whole generation didn't get that. They didn't have that sense of fulfillment. They didn't complete the journey that they were on, except Caleb. Because he followed the Lord fully. See, Caleb had a sense of fulfillment in his life. As a result of following the Lord fully, he was fulfilled by entering, being allowed to enter that land of Canaan. Look over in Joshua chapter 14. Not only did he receive the land that he was promised, but Joshua chapter 14, look at what is said of Caleb in verse 12. He says, "Now then, give me this hill country about which the Lord spoke on that day, for you heard on that day that Anakim were there, with great fortified cities. Perhaps the Lord will be with me, and I will drive them out as the Lord has spoken." So Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Therefore Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, until this day, because he followed the Lord God of Israel fully. Now the name of Hebron was formerly Kiriath Arba, for Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim. Then the land had rest from war. Not only did he get to go into the land, not only did he have that sense of fulfillment that he was allowed to receive the promises of God, but his land was free from war. He had peace. He had that sense of fulfillment, that he wouldn't have to fight anymore. Well, what kind of fulfilled life does Jesus offer us? I just have a few passages here for your consideration. First, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 19. It says, "And to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God." You want to follow the Lord fully? You want motivation to follow the Lord fully? If you follow the Lord fully, you will experience the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. It surpasses understanding. This love of Christ is so great, it can fulfill us, can give us a sense of fulfillment in this life. Look over at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4 and verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You want to be fulfilled in this life? How about having the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge and that peace which can't even be comprehended? Follow the Lord fully and you can receive that peace. Look over in the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. And verse 8. It says, and though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Joy which cannot be expressed. That's the fulfillment that awaits those who are fully following the Lord, who have completely given themselves to him, who are committed to him. Love, peace, joy. These things that cannot be expressed, these things that cannot be measured. Look over one more verse in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Begin reading for me in verse 13. Paul says, but we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. We have the opportunity, if we follow the Lord fully, not only to have love that cannot be expressed with words, we have the opportunity to be fulfilled with the peace that passes understanding. It can't even be comprehended. We have the opportunity to have the joy that is inexpressible. But also we have hope. That's fulfillment, brethren. To have the hope of eternal life in the presence of the glory of our God, that is fulfillment in this life. And that's fulfillment that Caleb didn't even fully receive upon entering the land of Canaan. Are we going to accept that? Are we going to have a fulfilled life? A life that is wholly devoted to God? Why would we not want to follow the Lord fully? Why would we want to throw that away? We need to recognize the example of Caleb. We need to recognize that Caleb was one who followed the Lord fully. He knew what it meant to follow the Lord fully. He knew that he had to be committed to God. He knew that he had to completely follow the Lord in everything, despite the dangers that would come his whole life. He knew how to follow the Lord fully. He kept his eyes on God. He kept his eyes on his strength and his foundation, because he knew that in him he would conquer the land. And he had a different spirit. He was different. He thought about things differently from those around him. And he was motivated to follow the Lord fully. He knew that to follow the Lord fully would mean that he would have a useful life. He knew that it would lead to his life being fulfilled in one way or another. Do you want to help this church grow? Do you want to help this church be what it needs to be? Start right now and start with yourself. Follow the Lord fully in your own life. That is the way that we will help this church grow. That is the way that we will get this church to be the church that it ought to be. And fully following the Lord as a congregation. Don't forget that Joshua and Caleb were the only two people out of a whole nation of people, an entire generation. They were the only two people who survived the 40 years of wilderness wanderings. And they were the only ones who were able to enter the promised land. Look back at Numbers chapter 32, if you will. One more verse I'd like to read for you. Numbers 32. I'm going to begin in verse 10. So the Lord's anger burned in that day, and he swore, saying, None of the men who came up from Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, for they did not follow me fully, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have followed the Lord fully. They were the only two who followed the Lord fully. They were the only two who were able to enter that rest, that promised land, the peace, that escape from the wilderness, if you will. How are we following the Lord today? Are we following the Lord like Caleb? Are we following Him completely in everything that we do? Following Him, recognizing that He is the strength that we are to find? Completely following Him? Or are we following God like those who died in the wilderness? Because the text tells us that they did not completely follow the Lord. What are your needs today? Can we help you come to Christ? Can we help you begin that walk and follow the Lord fully? Can we help you come back to Christ if you're a Christian who has erred? We want to do whatever we can to help. If you have any needs at this time, we ask that you come forward as we stand and as we sing this song of encouragement.